Welcome to the New Covenant Christian Community Church podcast. Join us as Pastor Jack and other NC4 staff challenge us with a message from God's Word.
This morning's Connect music was once again, it was Ennio Morricone's On Earth as It Is in Heaven. When I hear that, I know that you're all talking, but there's this backdrop of the Holy Spirit when that plays, whenever I listen to it, On Earth as It Is in Heaven. I'm sensing angelic choirs. It's that kind of thing. It's from the movie The Mission, which is a great movie. If you've not seen it, you need to see it. It's an old Oscar winner, but it really has a spiritual leaning to it. It's exactly the spirit in which we prayed this morning, bringing heaven to earth. Matter of fact, I wanted the cross in Bethlehem lit this morning, specifically because the atonement of Jesus and what we were doing in praying for healing is so important. And in changing, like as I said before, Trish and I were going to be talking about marriage this morning, but God just kind of completely changed the venue. And it's almost as if he changed our agenda in this series on covenant, because God wants us to realize that his covenants extend from heaven to earth in healing, right? And healing is an essential component of all of his covenants. And so not just the healings of persons, but the healing of families, the healing of communities, the healing of churches, the healing of, the ultimate healing of society and the healing of the universe itself as a new creation. You realize, as Christians, we have a two-creation model, yeah? It's that kind of thing. So thank you for your willingness to kind of come aboard that change in agenda, both in Mukunji and here. So we change the direction of the service. We believe at the direction of the Holy Spirit. It's almost as if God is saying, you can't teach a series on covenant without teaching me as your covenant God who heals. And so we're going to go directly to a scripture that shows us that God in covenant reveals himself to be a healing God. And we're going to go there, and the greatest realization of healing on the earth is Jesus' atoning work on the cross, and by his stripes we are what? Healed. Okay, so if you'll turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 15, beginning in verse 22. Now, the title of this message, of course, is Healing and Covenant, all right? Let me give you context first. Okay, the context here is really important. God has just taken his people miraculously through the Red Sea, proven himself to be their deliverer, their savior, and he did it so that they would become his people. We've been saying in this covenant series, God doesn't apprehend a person, he always apprehends a people. And if he apprehends a person, it's to either create a people or for that individual to become part of a people. That's the, from Genesis to Revelation, that's the pattern. And so God has miraculously redeemed his people from slavery in Egypt, okay? And now as a people, as they've come through the Red Sea, this is the context, this is their first test. And it's an attitude test, all right? The God who saved them now is accused of being a God who pays no attention to their needs. When that happens, it's God's leaders who take a hit. In this case, it's Moses. Because among God's people, it's a short hop from people's disappointment and disillusionment to a crisis in leadership. Are you there? Huh? And so we're going to begin in chapter 15, beginning in verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter, and therefore its name was Marah. Marah means bitterness in Hebrew. Mary's name is named after the word bitterness, which is kind of interesting. It's the root of her name. Remember when Naomi comes back to Bethlehem in the book of Ruth? She says, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara because I'm bitter. So there's this theme of bitterness working here, verse 24. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, well, what shall we drink? Verse 25. Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And he threw the tree into the waters, and the waters became sweet. And the word there for sweet means wholesome, pleasant, potable, that kind of thing. All right. So There he, that is God, made for them a statute and a regulation. And the word is literally a law, it's mishpat. This is the first time since the people came through the Red Sea that God initiates the law. This is the first law that God gives his people when they come out of Egypt, and it's previous to the Ten Commandments of the law, but it tees them up for the Ten Commandments of the law, all right? And there he, that is God, tested them. And this is the beginning of a series of tests, each test revealing a dimension of the personality of the God who saved them, or the attribute of the God who saved them. Verse 26. And so he said, if you, this is God, if you will give earnest heed, what an interpretive translation. The phrase actually says in Hebrew, if you really, really, really hear my voice. If you really, really, really hear my voice, the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I'll put none of the diseases upon which I have put on the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. And Pentecostals over the years have gotten the name Jehovah Rapha out of that. The Hebrews actually pronounced Yahweh Rahakah, which means I am your healer. And the your is plural. God is our healer as a people of covenant. That's how God identifies himself to us as a people of covenant. Verse 27, and then they came to Elim, where there are 12 springs of water and 70 date palms, and they camped there beside the waters. Elim is a place of refreshment. This is the Palm Springs of the Sinai Peninsula, okay? So, I'm hurrying here, but this is the beginning of this series of tests, each test revealing more of the attributes or the personality or the character of the God they serve. And one of these attributes God wants us to people to see in him immediately after they understand that he's their savior and their deliverer is he wants us to know that he's our healer, right? So here's the question, especially after praying in faith this morning as we did. I'm trying to seal something here. Why is it important for us to understand that healing is a part of God's covenant with us? And see, it's important for God that we understand this. I really believe the Holy Spirit changed our agenda this morning to give us a different perception of God's character. Are you there? I mean, we need to pay attention not just to the event, the succeeding testimonies that I believe we're going to see coming in the weeks ahead. I'll tell you what, Sig, that wheelchair dance was a sign. I mean, that took a lot of courage. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, God wants us to know. Why does God want us to know that in covenant is healing? And here's the answer. It is one thing to ask for what you're not sure is really yours. It's another to ask for what you're entitled to. You sink that in a little bit. It's one thing to ask for what you're not sure is really yours. It's another thing to ask for what you're entitled to. Think of it this way. You've got a legacy. There's a father or mother who passed away, and the lawyer is the executor of the estate. It's one thing to walk into the lawyer's office and say, I like this legacy. I'd like this legacy that's a consequent of my parents' will or testament or covenant. I'd like to receive what's entitled to me. You're going to say it with a very different spirit than if you go in and you really don't know what's in there. Are you there? Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you get it on the spot. But it does mean that there's an entitlement that comes from the testament of it. I'm not losing anybody here. This is an important distinction. It's one thing to ask for what you're not sure is really yours. It's another to ask what you are entitled to. By entitled, I mean in this sense, the sense of being positioned for, being okayed for, being it's vested for you. Healing is our portion, brothers and sisters, as a part of covenant. Now, you have to notice that I didn't say that healing is our right, all right? I didn't say that. We have done nothing to receive healing as a matter of it being our right, as it's taught in some segments of the body of Christ. Our obedience to the Lord and our devotional life position us to receive what covenant entitles us to because of the cross of Jesus Christ, huh? So God, Yahweh, or Yahweh Raphakah, God, your healer, is the arbiter of healing sovereignly. Our healing is ultimately his business. Matter of fact, in modern Hebrew, if you go to Israel today and you say you're going to the doctor, you say, Ani holochet a rofe. Rofe is a doctor. It's a healer. It's that kind of thing. All right, remember, we have been saying that all of God's covenants in the Old Testament, over the last number of weeks, we've said all of God's testaments and covenants in the Old Testament find fulfillment in the new covenant. And this is what that means. This is really important. The highest realization of the Father's intention to heal lies in the atoning work of Jesus. It's why I wanted the cross lit up this morning and I sent Elmer fetching something to make that happen. I wanted, the cross is where our healing lies. And it's interesting because this is controversial in the body of Christ. Is the healing in the atonement? Is it not? By his stripes we're healed, Psalm 23, yeah? And Isaiah. This is really important because over the course of 40 years of ministry, I found that when I realized that healing was in the covenant, that healing was in the atoning work of Jesus, when I laid hands on people and prayed for healing, I prayed with a different attitude, I prayed with a different faith, and I saw different results. Huh? If it was a big maybe, I got nowhere. Are you there? Yeah. So I pray in confidence because Jesus went to the cross in confidence for our complete redemption. It's that kind of thing. The highest realization of the Father's intention to heal lies in the atoning work of Jesus. To paraphrase Michael Brown in his book, this great book called Israel's Divine Healer. If you ever want to know anything about healing in the Old Testament, get his book. Anyway, anyone who has made a careful study of divine healing in the Old Testament can't help but feel that the floodgates of healing have opened in the New Testament. The trickle has become a deluge. The exceptional has become the norm in the ministry of Jesus. The occasional has become the commonplace. The hoped for has become that which is experienced. The longed for has become the realized. And the angel Gabriel's words to Mary become true. No word from God is void of power. Right. See, we were acting upon a word from God this morning. Yeah, I mean, this wasn't somebody's fanciful liturgical idea. So we want to honor that. We want to receive that. Some translators, like the NIV, I love this. The NIV state that Moses threw a piece of wood into the bitter waters. So I hurried to the Hebrew text and looked at it, and I want to say it's a whole tree. So in the midst of this place of bitterness, this Marah, where there was no water to drink because it was bitter, the place was even called bitterness, there was a tree of life. God showed Moses a tree. There was a tree of life. Verse 25 says that Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord revealed to him that there was a tree that carried enough life to transform all the bitterness of that place into life. Remind you of something. It's hard not to see the parallel between the bitterness of the place and the bitterness of the people. Yeah? See, bitterness is an enemy of healing. Huh? Bitterness is an enemy of healing. It really is. And of course, it's pretty obvious to us as Christians that the tree is a picture of the tree of life in Eden, and it's a picture of the tree of Calvary. Yeah? There's an old tradition in all the way back to the Reformation that this passage is preached that way. If our healing is in the atonement, like our salvation, this gives rise to another question. Why aren't we healed like that every time? Right? I mean, I asked Jesus into my life. I was justified like that. How come some of us aren't getting out of wheelchairs just like that? Well, here's the thing. The answer lies in that our healing is not in the atonement in the same way that our justification is in the atonement. Our healing is in the atonement in the same way that our sanctification is in the atonement. When I became saved and I became justified, I did not become perfectly holy in terms of my life like that. There is a process. Matter of fact, baptism is the grace that gives us the initiation of that grace for the process to work out in my life. And so healing is like sanctification. It's often a process. Sometimes God heals like that. We'll talk about that. But sometimes he doesn't. But that doesn't mean my faith isn't in the covenant and the God of the covenant who has entitled me to the healing by which I can pray in faith and confidence. Huh? Am I losing you here? Because if we get it, we begin to pray in a completely different way for healing. All right? So the manifestation of healing is in the work of the cross. That's God's business, right? Having faith in the cross, having faith in God entitles us to our healing. But remember that we defined covenant weeks ago as a chosen relationship, didn't we? We said, what's a covenant? What's the difference between a covenant and a contract? A contract is a legal agreement. It's a law. But a covenant is a chosen relationship. We choose to have relationship. So, because covenant is a relationship, healing is a relationship as well. Huh? Now, I know I'm flying through this, but, you know, absorb it with your spirit and go back and look online. This is important theology. Because covenant is a relationship, healing is a relationship as well. Well, this is really interesting. Because in some relationships, the promise of the relationship materialized like that, right? I asked Tricia to marry me, and she lost her wits and said, yes. It was over a tuna fish salad sandwich in Boscov's. How romantic is that, all right? I only had so much time. All right, so she said, yes, the fruit of covenant was immediate, you know. It was that kind of thing. But over a lifetime, I've learned how to love her and how much she loves me. You there? That was what we were going to talk about this morning, all right? Delana Serrard texted me this week. She's preaching at a church, I think, in Georgia. It's her brother-in-law's church. And the pastor down there has been sovereignly healed of some severe dementia. Okay, my understanding of it is that it was a process that they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and came through, that he cleared up. And he's completely healed, completely delivered from dementia. Dementia is tough, yeah? It's that kind of thing. I remember about 5 years ago, I was called up to the north part of the state where I'm from, and I was called to do a visitation on a kind of a distant relative who was suffering from dementia, and she was taken to the hospital. Her parents were gone, her siblings were gone. She had nobody but a small circle of friends. They called me, said, would you come up here? We need you to get here. We've got no powers of attorney, the estate. We don't know what we're going to do. And I'm thinking, I don't know where anything is. I don't know anything about this. So I go in to see her in the hospital, and I walk in, and I have my oil and stuff with me, and I said, can I pray for you? And you know, she was kind of babbling, and I mean, she was complete. She was on Mars, okay? And so I thought, okay, so I prayed for her. I wish I could tell you that the same sense of unction and anointing resided in me that day when I was up there that resided in me this morning as I was praying with you all for healing over the people who were prayed for this morning. I was dumbfounded. You know, I was struck by her condition. So I put oil on her and anointed her out of the office of elder in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I prayed for her. And then I went out and I met her circle of friends, left her. I said, I got to figure all this out. I got to call an attorney and find out some stuff. I'll come back up on Tuesday and we'll see where we go from there. I got there Tuesday afternoon. They were there. They said, you're not going to believe this. I said, what? He said, after you prayed for her last Friday, something happened. I said, well, what? They said, go in and see. I went in and she was lucid. She was absolutely clear and lucid, coherent, cogent, all those things like that. I marveled, you know. I was more surprised than they were. I'm the minister in this situation. Yeah, really. And she's still like that today. Huh? Later on, now watch this. Later on, I went up to visit her, and she had a hip problem, ultimately had a replacement, and she had a hip problem, And I was talking to her about, you know, like straightening out all her stuff before she went in so that she wasn't stuck in the same position as before when all of her paperwork and all was just cloudy. So I said, I noticed I got up. I said, I need to leave now. Can I pray for you? And she said, well, okay. And she was tentative about it after being healed like that. And so I said, well, I sense that you're tentative about this healing. Why are you tentative about it? She said, well, look, I read the Gospels just like you told me. She said, and when I look at Jesus, Jesus just prays for somebody and they're healed. But when you pray for me, you go on and on and on and on. In the name, you know. And she had me, you know, nine ways to Sunday. But the truth is, she wanted for her hip, right, what she had for her dementia. But that's not a relationship, that's a formula. Catch this. It's not a relationship, it's a formula. We pray out of relationship, you know. If you think about it, Delaina's dementia took a healing over a long period of time. This gal's dementia, like that, was gone. Well, why is that? I don't know, because God wants a relationship with me, and God wants a relationship with those people. And so as I pointed out before, there's a subtle but important difference between curing a disease and healing a person. Okay, curing a disease is clinically based. It's cause and effect. It's science. But healing is relationally based. Now, I understand that the two of those things overlap, and they have to overlap for Christian healthcare professionals. But the moral of the story, then, is that when we speak healing, or when we deal with people who are ill, God wants a relationship with them, and he wants a relationship with us, yeah? So receiving healing in the new covenant is never a formula. How do I know that? Well, one minute Jesus is spitting in the mud and plastering it on somebody's eyes, huh? So, and telling them to go wash off. Okay, another minute Elijah is crucifying himself upon a child because that's what the Holy Spirit said to do. He laid upon the child, hand to hand, leg to leg, foot to foot, and the child's resurrected, right? Another time somebody touches Jesus, the hem of his garment, and power flows from him. This is not formulaic stuff. This is relational stuff. Huh? It's that kind of thing. I remember a bunch of years ago, this is when we were first married, I developed two lumps under my arm. And they got harder and harder. And so I thought, okay, I'll go see my doctor. I went to see my doctor. The doctor said to me, you need to see a surgeon on these things. I said, okay. I said, could they be malignant? He said, I don't know. He said, but they're going to be biopsied, and we'll find out, well, where we go from here. Because they're, I guess, close to my lymph nodes and stuff. That gets your attention, yeah? So we're in bed when I get back from the doctor that day, and Tricia said, let me lay hands on those and speak healing to them in the name of Jesus. And so she does that. She lays hands. That's a nice thought, isn't it? Anyway, she lays hands under my arm, and she says, I speak to these cysts to be, I don't remember the words she used. She said, these cysts to be destroyed in the name of Jesus. The next morning I woke up, and my bed was soaked, and there was matter all over the bed, and the one cyst or tumor or whatever it was had broken it during the middle of the night, and it was gone, you know. And so I'm kind of waiting for the other one to do the same thing. I went by a couple days. I had already made an appointment to talk to a surgeon, and she said, it's not gone. I said, no. She said, well, let's do it again. She did it again. And when she prayed this time, the next morning I woke up, and it had burst, and the bed was wet, and it was gone and never come back, you know. That's not formulaic. That's listening to the power of the Holy Spirit. It's relational, right? It's relational. It's wonderful. I thank God for that, okay? Receiving healing in the new covenant's never a formula. Grumbling, however, is a sign, watch this, that people want the miracles of God, but not relationship with God, and really don't want a relationship with his people in any formal sense of the word. Huh? Because it requires coming under authority. Authority is the bane of the 21st century. Huh? And so it's interesting that the grumbling at Mara has to be addressed before God reveals himself as healer. If you go all the way back to the beginning of Moses coming to the children of Israel have seen miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, all right? And then they come to a place where there's a little nasty water, and what do they say to God? They said, I know you helped me then, but what have you done for me lately? Huh? Come on. Are they the only ones? Am I the only ones who treat God that way? Yeah. What have you done for me lately, God? See, the outworking of healing is so often an outworking of this covenant relationship with the living God. It's that kind of thing. My father was a physician. It's really interesting. He was trying to manipulate me into becoming a doctor. My brothers are doctors, which is wonderful. It wasn't me, you know. But he used to say, medicine is the queen of the sciences. He used to say that. And I used to think about it, and I think he's absolutely right. Because good medicine has a feminine component, yeah? In other words, I want to talk to a doctor with a bedside manner that has empathy and sympathy and regard for me. Are you there? All the relational components. Christians should have that anyway, yeah? If they're in healthcare, it's that kind of thing. All right, so, okay, got to move on here. I won't tell that example. So why then is God so interested that we know him as a healer? And why is healing in all of the covenants in some form, all the way from Genesis to Noah, all the way up to the crucifixion of Jesus? Well, we find a profound clue in this passage that just doesn't seem to be talked about a lot, okay? And that's this. I find this fascinating. Yahweh, our God, is not only a healer of us, he's a healer of the water. He's a healer of the place. Huh? See, Mara has been transformed. Huh? The water is healed so that people are healed, so that life is better. The place is healed. It's no longer Mara. All right? So please note that God heals the oasis, the place that they're residing in. So God doesn't only restore us in covenant. He wants to restore communities. He wants to restore places. He wants to restore generations. He wants to restore societies. And ultimately, God's intention is to make a new heaven and a new earth. So, which is my mantra here at New Covenant. If your idea of death and life forever is to be floaty-floaty with a harp and a cloud and some never-never kind of land, forget about it. There's going to be a new physical reality that we function in forever in relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost through the Son. How neat, wonderful is that, huh? I remember I was early in my ministry, I was under the ministry of a charismatic Catholic priest. I remember being struck by what he said. He said, someday I'm going to dance on the rings of Saturn. And I thought, well, that's pretty fanciful. But the older I get, the more I think he may be right. Huh? It's that kind of thing. God doesn't only want to restore us, he wants to restore the whole matzo ball. Huh? Now, if we study the end of the story, if we go to Book of Revelation 21 and 22, we see descending a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem, a new way of doing things. It's the new covenant begetting ultimately community forever. So if you don't like people here, you're really not going to like heaven. Yeah, right. I used to say to people from Revelation chapter 5, where it describes the throne and there's 12 elders around the throne. Man, if you don't like authority here, you don't want to go to heaven, you know? Okay. Praise the Lord. I know we've got to clear the lots and so forth, but that was a real crash course in the importance of healing. But I believe that God instigated that, because I almost feel like when I was praying this week, God was offended that we dared to approach a series on covenant and never really approach God as the healing God. Yahweh Rapha, Jehovah Rapha, depending upon your pronunciation. Yeah, right. Actually, Yahweh Rapha is the right one, but we won't go there anyway. Too many Jehovahs over the years. Someday when I have time and we can have some fun, I'll show you how they got Jehovah from Yahweh anyway. It has to do with the Jews not wanting to pronounce the name of Yahweh. Anyway. All right. Look, it's one thing to know God as your healer. And sometimes you can know God as your healer before you ever know him as your Savior. Because sometimes God looks to heal us in order to prove to us that he cares for us enough to save us. But the ultimate healing for every man, woman, and child on the planet is to know Jesus Christ as their God and their Lord and their Savior, to be able to accept him, that way. Anybody see the movie The Lion? You know, yeah. I mean, what a movie, huh? Any of those movies where you see a kid get lost, right? Any of those movies where you see a kid get lost and the angst of the parent, you know, the parent never stops looking for the child, yeah? So I think every one of us who've had children, our horror is the idea that one of our children would be lost from us in some way, yeah? And we know that if any of that happened, that we would do everything and anything as long as we lived to recover the relationship with that child. Very often, we as Christians look at the lost, i.e. the lost in the world, as, well, yeah, I know they're lost and God loves them. He'll figure it out. But what we fail to realize is that the kind of angst or the kind of yearning that would be produced in us if one of our children were lost is nothing compared to God's yearning for the lost who are out there, or maybe someone who is lost here this morning. Huh? It's huge. Sometimes I feel like we need to repent of our attitude toward those who are without Christ. So this morning, we're just going to give an opportunity for you to come to Christ, for you to take that cross that's lit up and let it light up your heart and just utter a prayer, which just like that. Remember, justification, getting saving grace is not a process. It's just a matter of receiving Christ into your heart. So in that light, if you're here and you've never done that, or you did it and it didn't mean much to you, you can do it right now and it'll mean everything. Father, I just pray for a presence of the Holy Spirit over this congregation right now. Both here, I pray for a presence of your Holy Spirit in the sanctuary at Mukunji. Right now, come Holy Ghost, Creator, blessed. I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes and lower your faces, you know, bow your heads, and we're going to just pray together a few words that'll change some lives forever. If you repeat after me, Lord Jesus Christ, I am sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from anything that I know is wrong. I thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and I can be set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness. You offer me the gift of your Spirit. And now, I receive that gift by faith. Come into my heart and my life by your Holy Spirit. Jesus, be with me forever. And I thank you. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For info about NC4, visit our website at www.nc4.org.